بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نون والقلم وما يسترون، ما أنت بنعمة ربك بمجنون، وإن لك لأجرا غير ممنون، وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: البر حسن الخلق، وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected friends and elders, Alhamdulillah, with the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we find ourselves now in the month of Shawwal. The Mubarak month of Ramadan has passed. The Mubarak month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to turn to Him, gave us the opportunity, inshallah, of engaging in so many acts of ibadah. It was a month for us to enhance our spiritual self. Generally, the month of Ramadan is associated with the quality of taqwa. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when mentioning the obligation of the fast, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that fasting has been made obligatory upon you so that you may acquire taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And throughout the month, we receive this training, so to say, this exercise on taqwa in so many different ways. Taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa, also translated as piety. Taqwa, the ability to abstain from sin, to abstain from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, during Ramadan, when we are fasting, we abstain from things that are normally permissible for us. Eating and drinking today, for example, throughout the day is permissible. But in the month of Ramadan, we abstain from this which is normally permissible for us. This ought to create within us the ability of abstaining from those acts that are always haram, always impermissible. And to a large extent, alhamdulillah, people acquire this ability during the month of Ramadan. Just as Ramadan is a month for enhancing the quality of taqwa, Ramadan is also a month for us to enhance our character and our morals. Ramadan is also a month for us to refine our character. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a possessor of exemplary character. Exemplary character. And his character used to increase in the month of Ramadan, used to reach a different level in the month of Ramadan. We get this idea from the hadith of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma in Bukhari Sharif, when he says, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَجْوَدَ النَّاسِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in general, was the most generous of all people. Generosity is a part of good character. وَأَجْوَدُ مَا يَكُونُ فِي رَمَضَانِ. But the time when he would be the most generous was in the month of Ramadan. This highlights the importance of us enhancing our akhlaq and character in the month of Ramadan. Because our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to increase his character during Ramadan. And ulama explain, this is to bring our character as close as possible to the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as close as possible to the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Rabbul Izzah in the month of Ramadan displays so much of mercy, rahmah, generosity. So therefore, in the month of Ramadan, a believer is inspired to adopt these qualities as well. The month of Ramadan is obviously the month of Quran. So it is a month associated to the revelation of Quran, an abundant tilawa of Quran, recital of Quran. The Quran, like it is a book of injunctions, commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a book which has prohibitions, things that we ought to abstain from. It's a book of morals. It's a book of character. When Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha was asked about the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how was the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her reply was, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. His character was the Qur'an. In other words, he was an embodiment of the Qur'an. Generally, when we speak about Qur'an, we understand commands of Allah. Qur'an commands us to read salah, to give our zakah, to fast, to go for hajj. The major commandments, etc., are found in the Quran. The prohibitions against zina, against stealing, against alcohol, against so many other things, all prohibitions are contained in Quran. But do we realize Quran is also a book of akhlaq, a book of morals and character, a book that is there to refine our inner self and this character that we have to display to people around us. Taqwa and husnul khuluq, taqwa and good character go hand in hand. In several ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find them paired up and coupled. So like we would focus on the aspect of taqwa in Ramadan, our akhlaq and character also, to an extent, alhamdulillah, has been refined to the barakat of the mahol, the barakat of the month, etc. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked in one hadith, "Ma aktharu ma yudkhilu an-nas an-nar?" Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports in the hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, that, O Nabi of Allah, what's the major cause for people going to Jahannam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's reply was, Al-famu wal-farj, the mouth and the farj, the private part. The mouth, because what comes out of that mouth, how a person interacts and speaks with people around him, can take this person to Jahannam. Another meaning of the mouth being a major cause for entry into Jahannam is that it's possibly because of what people consume. Many people will end up in Jahannam because they consumed haram. Al-famu wal-farju and the private part. In other words, these two, the sins committed by these two organs, are the major causes for people going into Jahannam. Thereafter he was asked, مَا أَكْثَرُ مَا يُدْخِرُ النَّاسَ الْجَنَّةِ. What are the major causes for people getting entry into Jannah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. Adopting the quality of taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa husnul khuluqi, and good character. They go hand in hand. Taqwa of Allah, fearing Allah, this quality has got to do with a person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa, when a person is a muttaqi and he displays his good character, when a muttaqi displays his good character, then it professes itself mainly between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The commands that he and obligations to Allah Rabbul Izzah, he fulfills them. Allah's prohibitions, he abstains from them. The quality of taqwa is something that will assist him in this. But husnul khuluq is something that we need between us and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore they have been coupled, taqwa and husnul khuluq. We need to rectify our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and maintain a healthy relationship and ta'alluq ma'allah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And coupled with that is our relationship with those around us. Taqwa, husnul khuluq and good character is so integral. The hadith of Muslim Sharif says, al-birru husnul khuluq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what constitutes piety? Bir, generally we explain or we translate as piety. Bir is karimatun jami'atun tashmalu kullal khair. All good is included in the word bir. So what is piety? Al-birru husnul khuluq. Bir, piety is to have good character. Generally we associate piety to acts like, for example, salah. A person wakes up with tahajjud, a person gives a lot of charity, or he makes a lot of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tilawat of Quran, and all of these are undoubtedly great acts of piety also. Great acts of ibadah. Undoubtedly. But do we understand that part of piety is for a person to display good akhlaq and good character? And those who understand the Arabic language, al-birru husnul khuluq. This is like the hadith, al-hajju arafa, like the hadith, al-deenun nasiha, etc., where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to highlight the importance of this one quality, he labeled the entire piety. Piety is good character. In other words, good character makes up of so many parts of piety. It is so important that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-birru husnul khuluq. Like, al-hajju arafa. Hajj is Arafat. No, during Hajj we go to Makkah also. During Hajj we go to Mina, Muzdalifah, and so many other a'mal take place in Hajj. But the most important amal of Hajj is to be present in Arafat on that day. Al-Hajju Arafat. So like that, al-birru husnul khuluq. So important is good character in terms of its relation to piety, that the entire piety has been labeled as husnul khuluq. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like he was إن أعلمكم بالله وأتقاكم لله أنا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I am the one who has the most amount of knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among you. And from among all of you, I am the one that has the most amount of taqwa. Like that, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one who had the highest character. And that by the testimony of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it came to the taqwa, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, I have the most amount of taqwa. But when it came to his akhlaq, Allah Rabbul Izzah testified. And Allah says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are a possessor of great character. Great character. خُلُقٌ عَظِيمٌ. So the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something for us to also emulate. Every Muslim, every believer, every reciter in the kalima La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, is duty bound to reflect the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life. When it comes to ibadat in the masjid, when it comes to fulfilling the commands of Allah, when it comes to the nawafil acts, etc., we understand that we ought to follow and reflect the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Coupled with that is the akhlaq and the character that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed. Husnul khuluq and good character is a very broad topic. Generally, it has been defined by some as isalul ma'rufi ila al-ghayr. وَكَفُّ الْأَذَىٰ عَنْهُ. حُسْنُ الْخُلُقُ is to do good to the next person, to ensure the next man benefits, whether it be good from our side or allowing others to benefit him. وَكَفُّ الْأَذَىٰ عَنْهُ, and saving him from harm. Firstly, saving him from our harm, and then from the harm of those around. Being harsh, being vulgar, getting angry, being over rigid, being unreasonable, etc. These are not characters that are supposed to be associated with a believer and the reciter of kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Good character is for us to actually express that good character and do good even to those who harm us. In the riwayah of Bayhaqi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Ya Abu Huraira, alayka bi husni al-khuluq. O Abu Huraira, adopt good character. Sayyidina Abu Huraira asked, O Nabi of Allah, وَمَا حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. What is good character? So in other words, what's the definition? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. Nabi sallam replied, تَصِلُ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ. That person who cuts off ties with you, you maintain ties with him. وَتَعْفُوا عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ. The one who oppressed you, harmed you, did wrong to you, تَعْفُوا عَنْهُ, to overlook him, to forgive him. وَتُعْطِي مَنْ حَرَمَكَ, and to give that person who deprived you. So good akhlaq is not just to express good character, to smile, to be kind to the general person whom you may not know. No, somebody who might have done you wrong also, to do good to him, that is husnul khuluq. So تَصِلُ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ, that person never made salam also. That person never phoned on Eid day. Or he has cut off ties openly. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you make up with a man like that. وَتَعْفُوا عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ. Somebody made zulm on you, somebody harmed you, somebody oppressed you, he took away your right, etc. He was harsh to you, he made zulm on you verbally. Then to overlook him, to forgive him. وَتُعْطِي مَنْ حَرَمَكَ, and the person who deprived you, you had your haqq, you deserved your haqq, and you never got your haqq. That person was instrumental in depriving you of your haqq. The hadith is encouraging us that if you want to adopt good character, and in light of other ahadith, if you want to achieve the rank of piety, then this is how you're going to achieve it. And we have so many exemplary examples from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and throughout history of how we ought to be changing the situation from bad to good. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Quran says that respond in a better way. Being, you know, tit for tat, like we say, that doesn't work in Islam. A Muslim at all times has to be able to control his anger, has to be able to control his emotions, and more so when it comes to a time when he feels he has the right. In this hadith we've been taught, you may seemingly have the right to get angry on that man because he has broken off ties with you, he has, you know, oppressed you, committed zulm, he may have deprived you. But here too, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, here, this is now where you display your good character. Imam Abu Uthman al-Hiri rahimahullah was a senior alim of his time who resided in Iran. One day he was walking on the road, and some person from the balcony on top emptied a bucket of ash, probably not knowing that somebody is walking past down, and that ash fell onto him. Now imagine the injury it would have caused, or at least the mess it would have made on his clothes and body, etc. So Imam Abu Uthman al-Hiri dusted himself and he continued to proceed. So those that were with him said, "Oh Abu Uthman, you didn't get angry. You didn't question the person who did this to you." So he gives us an answer that is a principle for us. Something for us to ponder about, something for us to take inspiration from. He says, "Inna man istahaqqa an-nar fasuliha 'ala ar-ramad, kayfa yaghdab?" He says, out of humility, he says, "I deserve Jahannam." That person who deserves fire, and Allah gave him a discount. Allah made a deal for him. Allah only gave him ash. How can he get angry? In other words, I deserved worse than this. Ash is nothing. I deserve Jahannam, the fire. This is how I was not to get angry. Look for reasons not to get angry. Unfortunately, today it has become such that a man all the time is displaying his anger, as if to say, looking for reasons to get angry. And good character and akhlaq, control of anger, etc., starts from our home. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi, wa ana khayrukum li ahli." The best of you are those who are best to their wives and to their families. And I am the best of you towards my family. It is easy to display good akhlaq and to smile and to do good to a stranger, somebody you don't know very well, etc. But to display your good akhlaq with those who are near to you, those whom you are interacting with all the time, and especially those over whom you seem to have some kind of authority, that is the real test. So the wives and children in the homes, the employees in the business place, people who, so to say, you have authority over, that is where our good akhlaq starts from. And here, Sayyidah Aisha is being asked, the wife of Rasulullah, how was his akhlaq? And her testimony, the wife of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it started from his home, khuluquhu al-Qur'an. In one version of the riwayah, she continues to say, yarda li ridahu wa yaskhatu li sakhatihi. He would be happy with things that Qur'an allowed us to be happy with. And he would get angry only for those things that Qur'an didn't approve of. Some sahaba mentioned, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never got angry for personal reasons. وَمَنْ تَقَمَ لِنَفْسِهِ. He never took revenge for his own personal reasons. He would get angry when the rules of Allah were violated. Quran's rules were broken, then he would get angry. But never for personal reasons. He never even questioned those around him. Why did you do it like this and why didn't you do it like that? To his khadim Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu. So akhlaq and good character, respected friends and allies, is an integral part of our deen, integral part of piety, and is a quality that ought to go together with the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearing Allah and displaying good akhlaq and good character. Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahullah, my ustad's ustad, there's a unique incident about him, again a great inspiration to us, and a display of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person who harms you, you do good to him. So in the early 1960s, somebody had bad-mouthed Shaykh Hafizahullah wrongfully and falsely accused him of some political crimes in Syria. And because of which Shaykh was imprisoned, he was put into prison. And several months later, the Israeli-Arab war broke out in the mid-60s. So because of that, political prisoners were released from prison. So Sheikh returned to his home in Aleppo, in Halab, and being a senior alim, a respectable alim in the community, obviously when he returned from prison, many people thereafter came to welcome him back home, came to congratulate him, etc., to meet him. So whilst people were in his house, somebody mentioned, "Oh Sheikh, that person who falsely accused you to the authorities, he is also outside. He wants to come meet you too." In other words, that person obviously now regretted what he did. He also wants to come and meet you. Now imagine the humiliation that would have been felt by Shaykh Abdul Fattah, rahimahullah, being an alim, then being put into prison. Any person going into prison feels humiliated. Being an alim and leader of your community, so to say, from the musalla and the mimbar to the prison. So great humiliation. So he would have suffered emotionally quite a lot. and being in prison, etc., whatever were the trials that he had to face in the prison. But Shaykh Hafizahullah, rahimahullah, gave this unique answer. And an answer that serves as an inspiration for us. He says, دَعْهُ يَدْخُلْ. Let him enter. نَحْنُ نُعَامِلُ النَّاسَ بِأَخْلَاقِنَا لَا بِأَخْلَاقِهِمْ. We will treat the people using our own character. We will display our character, not their character. In other words, if he was foul, if he was wrong, if he displayed bad character in reporting me, I'm not going to do the same. I'm not going to mirror his character. We have to display our character. Don't let the next person judge the way you react. We will react like Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. نُعَامِرُ النَّاسَ بِأَخْلَاقِنَا. We will display our character. لَا بِأَخْلَاقِهِمْ. Not his. So that person was vulgar. That person spoke harshly towards us. That person did wrong. We will not do the same. We will display the good character taught to us by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I remember on the second last trip for Umrah with my father rahimahullah, he was on the wheelchair and we wanted to enter the Haram Masjid, Haram in Makkah Sharif via a particular door from which usually we thought that with the wheelchair you could get access. But the guard that was there, it was Fajr time, the guard that was there was extremely angry and very, very harsh. And he used words that for myself, very few times in my life, maybe that was the only time in my life, I felt so humiliated. That person was absolutely harsh. Anyway, my father, my beloved father, rahimahullah, many a time when he would get angry, and when he would get very angry, then he wouldn't respond. He would say, Allahu Akbar. A lot of the time when he got very, very angry, he would say, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. He would repeat, Allahu Akbar. And we read our salah outside or somewhere else. The next morning was our last morning. So he tells me, let's go back to the same door. We went back to the same door. We found the same guard. And my father, rahimahullah, went to meet him, got up and went to meet him and embrace him. And to tell him that, forgive us, we angered you yesterday. That person, mashallah, also smiled, was happy. And he began to excuse himself and explain. He says, you know, I worked double shift yesterday. So I was very, very angry and I hardly ate, etc. And I lost myself and forgive me. This is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَتَعْفُوا عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكْ وَتَصِلُ مَنْ قَطَعَكْ. That person who is trying hard to break ties with you, that person who's trying hard to anger you, that person who's trying hard to hurt your feelings, you do the opposite. And in this way, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Quran says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Respond in a better way. Then even that person who is your enemy will become your close friend, your bosom friend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us and give us the tawfiq of adopting the quality of taqwa like we worked on inshallah in the month of Ramadan, and also perfecting our akhlaq and character and our morals and the way we interact with those around us. Allah Rabbul Izzah give us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.